Welcome to our service for the 11th Sunday after Trinity. We learn our repertoire of hymns at different stages of our life, I suppose. I learned Sunday school songs from my parents and then in Sunday school itself and Crusaders. Then you learn hymns as you go to new churches and as new people come into your church. Different for lay people, of course, especially if they move from church to church. These thoughts are prompted partly by seeing Fran choose hymns. She's a different repertoire from me and probably from the rest of us, and we'll learn new hymns from her. So it's good. And this one is one of the most popular of the modern hymns. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is Love, whoever lives and pleads for me. Now it's time for our penitential prayers. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, by your cross, many children are brought to glory. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you search our hearts by your indwelling Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Another collect or special prayer for the 11th Sunday after Trinity. O God, you declare your almighty power most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace, that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our first Bible reading is from the first book of Kings, chapter 19. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." And then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up, ate and drank, and then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A New Testament reading from Ephesians chapter 4 and into verse 5. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. Putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbours, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labour and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger, wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Still comes go golden crystal here.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. I included in today's New Testament reading some words actually from the ending of last week's, which I wanted to look at again. That phrase, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love, writes Paul, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. While I was working in academia some years ago, Jane and I were once part of a very good Methodist church. It had a modern, forward-thinking outlook which we liked, but in the way of the new modern churches, it also felt the need for a vision statement with what is called a strapline, a kind of motto. And this church's motto was, "We believe in openness and honesty." It sounds impossible to dislike, doesn't it? But over time, I came to distrust it. Because what we discovered was that sometimes in the church's fellowship groups, people were being encouraged to share things openly about their lives, which would have been more appropriate to a confidential environment, kind of thing you might talk about with a trusted friend, or in some cases even a trained professional, but not quite appropriate for open discussion in an unselected group. The fellowship groups were very well intentioned and they thought they were helpful to people with those kinds of needs, but I don't think they were really, and perhaps also hearing them expressed in open forum didn't help the hearers either. Instead of Christian fellowship groups discussing Christian truth, they became a sort of third-rate therapy session which didn't really help anyone, however well-intentioned they were. It made me realise that I don't quite believe in openness and honesty, or not at least in that sense. The trouble is that if I'm open and honest with you, I may say things that are hurtful to you. I may say things at the wrong time, or in the wrong way, or in the wrong company. The gold standard of Christian communication is indeed honesty, but it is an honesty circumscribed by the higher priority of loving one another. And that's why Paul, in Ephesians 4:15, talks about speaking the truth in love. It is indeed remarkable that so much of what St. Paul writes about behaviour within the church is focused on how his Christian converts should talk to each other. It's clear that many of the Christians to whom Ephesians is written had previously been Gentiles. Perhaps these people did not have, as Paul did, the Hebrew understanding that words are more than just sound. They always bear importance and significance. All words, to the Hebrew mind, like the Word of God itself, are effective and active. The Word of God brought creation into being, and all words create effects and consequences, consequences that may be good or bad. Words are explosive. They need to be handled with care. The people to whom he writes had previously been Gentiles, but now, says the apostle, they must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Instead, they must be made new in the attitude of their minds. And he then goes straight on to deal with how they talk to each other. And in the next few lines, this is his repeated theme. Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger and slander, along with every form of malice. By this time, Paul was an experienced pastor, having founded several churches and had to deal with disagreements within them. In Corinth, for example, where one said, "I follow Apollos," and another, "I follow Paul." Or in Philippi, where he had to ask the leader of the church to work to reconcile two women called Euodia and Syntyche, who'd fallen out. For Paul, Such divisions were flat contrary to the nature of the church. His favourite picture of the church was the church as a body, and the members as different parts of it. How could the eye be at odds with the hand, or the arm with the head? And Paul knew that much of this division was caused by dishonesty, uncontrolled anger, slander, and malicious talk. It's typical, though, of Paul's writing, that when he gives such a negative list of problems as this, he balances it with the other side of the coin. Listen again to verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Here, the purpose of speaking the truth in love is made plain. Christians are not to be people who pull each other apart or put each other down, but rather people who benefit those who listen to them by building them up. Building them up, notice the following phrase, according to their needs. Every pastor knows this, that there are people who need one to be frank and open with them, but also people who need one to speak gently and more obliquely, and that there are times when people can hear the helpful word, but also times when reticence or even silence is better. This is the mark of Christian communication, that it chooses the right time and the right way in which to speak the right word to help the listener, a word in season, as the scripture puts it elsewhere. We're not all the same, of course. Some people are more blunt and frank than others, and over time we often learn to value their opinion because we know we can trust their honesty and if they do not speak maliciously. Others are shy of expressing any opinion, and perhaps can have too little confidence in their ability to help. We might long for them to say more, to be more open and honest, as it were, but we're not all the same. Nonetheless, in every case, for Paul, it is the moral content of communication that's vital, and for him the stakes are incredibly high. He states in this reading the consequences starkly. If you hold on to your anger and will not let it go, you will give the devil a foothold in your mind and soul, and a foothold in the church. If you continue to speak with bitterness, slander, and malice, you will grieve the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit whose work is to bring love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness within individual believers and between believers in the united body of Christ. Summarizing his teaching for the Christians in Colossae later, Paul concludes, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." He might simply have written, "Whatever you do, do everything in the name of Jesus," mightn't he? But he doesn't. He writes, "Whatever you do, in word or deed," because he knows full well that how they talk to each other and to their neighbours is such an important part of how they behave towards them too. Amen.
Father, and I, thy true Son, thou my battle shield, sword for the fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight. Be thou my soul's shelter, be thou my strong tower. O raise thou me heavenward, great power of my power. Riches I heed not, no man's empty praise. Be thou mine inheritance now and always. Be thou and thou only the first in my heart, O high King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, when victory is won, oh, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Great heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be thou my vision, O ruler of all.
Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Helen. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. En tad yr hynnoed yn y nefoedd sancteiddio dy enw, deled y dernas gwnel y dy wyllus, megis yn y nef fechlu ar y ddear hefyd. Dyna ni heddiw ein baro beunyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion fel y maddau o'n un a un dyledwyr, ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, canu seiddo ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oesoedd. Amen.
Everlasting God, as we approach your throne in the house of wisdom, in humility and simplicity, we ask that you will hear our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. Almighty God, we pray for our churches in the Diocese of St. David's, and ask that our churches here in the Glyn Iron LMA be given a clear vision of what is needed to be both focused and relevant in all that is good and serves your purpose of spreading the good news. We pray for Bishop Dorian, Archdeacon Eileen, Area Dean John, for Matthew, Judith and Fran. Strengthen and uphold them, especially when they become weary. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Arglwydd Dduw, diolchwn am harddwch y bryd byd a greoch chi, am ei amrywiaeth anhygoel, a rhoddion a gawn oddi wrtho. Helpwch ni ofalu amdano, gan ddangos cyfeillgarwch a chariad tuag at bawb tra'n derbyn eu heilioni nhw. Byddwch yn gefn i bawb sydd yn llywodraethu, yn enwedig ein gweinidog cyntaf newydd a'i dirprwy. Helpwch nhw yn ddyddiol i wneud penderfyniadau er lles yr holl bobl ac nid erbydd eu hunain. Arglwydd, yn dy drigaredd, gwrando ein gweddi. Father God, we pray for our own communities and all of our neighbours. We thank you also for our families and friends, raising before you those we know with particular needs. May your peace and love surround them, bringing with it comfort and strength. We pray for those communities that have seen protests and unrest and needless violence. Our country needs unity, and our people need wisdom. Move in the hearts of our political leaders and the police force, and fill them with your empowering spirit so that peaceful resolutions can be found. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for those we know who are on the road to recovery and for the miracle of healing. We pray for all who minister to the sick and infirm, both at home and in hospital care centres. We name before you now those we know who are ill or in need of our prayers, asking that through these requests they may all experience the light of the gospel and a real sense of your healing presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we pray for those whose lives have been shattered by the death of someone close and dear to them. We pray for members of our natural and church families who have died and whose anniversary we now remember. May your everlasting arms surround them with your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, receive our intercessions and thanksgiving on behalf of the Church and the world. Hear our prayers and reward our stewardship of this earth with the riches of heaven. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Demon.
And now may the love of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home, rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home, rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.